We're continuing in our series through the principles of congregational life, and you'll find some verses printed for you in the bulletin, starting with John chapter 8, verse 12. We are working our way through this series. We just finished up the section on the practice of community, and in that section we went through the one another's of Scripture. The one another commands, they direct us in so many ways in how we are to function as a community. And today we're transitioning to the goal of community. What's our purpose here? Why should we live in community? What's the goal that we're aiming for here? If we don't really have the purpose in mind, then the rest is irrelevant. So we need to understand the goal we're aiming for, why we living in community. So I'm going to read, listen to the purpose that God has given to us in these verses. The purpose that God has given to us individually and then collectively as his church. This is God's word given to us to set us free, so listen. John 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Ephesians 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. These are the words of God. May he open our eyes to see the treasures in these words. There's a website, an online magazine called happiness.com. And the goal of this magazine is to increase our happiness, to help us to increase our happiness. How can you be most happy? And so ultimately, they're trying to write articles or answer questions that that will ultimately lead to your happiness. Well, there's an article entitled, What's the Point? On this website, or What's the Point of Life? And in her introduction, the author acknowledges that this question is a fundamental question. It's fundamental to our happiness. And no matter who you are or what you do, at some point in your life, you're going to ask the question, what's the point? Why are we here? Where are we going? What are we doing? She acknowledges that this is a question that has been asked in every culture, in human history, that everyone has to wrestle with this. She even says that scientists point out that the search for meaning seems to be encoded into our very nature. So she begins by talking about how big of a question this is and how fundamental it is to our human nature. But then she recognizes that in this question she finds a great dilemma. She says that there's no single thing that brings us meaning or gives us purpose. And so she proposes that if you're wrestling with this question, then her very first piece of advice is this. She writes this, quote, "What if the point of life is to find a way to stop thinking about the point of life?" Your path to happiness is to try your best to ignore that most fundamental question to human existence. I find that amusing. I also find it very sad because she does acknowledge that this is fundamental to life. And yet the only answer that she can come up with really is to do your best to ignore it. Distract yourself with all the other things. Act like that question isn't real. You know, if you tried to use this approach to any other part of life, you'd see, it maybe is already apparent how silly that is, but Let's think about it for the rest of life. So what if the point of your check engine light in your car is just to help you to find a way to ignore your check engine light? Or what if the point of that pain in your tooth is just to try to help you to learn how to ignore that pain in your tooth? Or what if the point of your thirst is to help you to try to ignore your thirst? That's our best answer. The truth is, if we don't know the point of life, then what are we doing? What's the point? Why do we keep going? Well, really, the purpose of that question is to lead you to God, because apart from God, life is completely meaningless and pointless. The point of the question is to really point you to God, because in Him you find real meaning and true happiness. Well, this is a question that we not only have to wrestle with as individuals, but it's a question we need to be asking collectively as a community. Why does the church exist? Why does College Hill exist? We've talked about the picture of community, the nature of community, the makeup of community, the practice of community, but really none of that matters unless you understand the real purpose of community. And sadly, there are more and more churches in our country that have lost sight of this ultimate purpose, or our ultimate purpose, the ultimate purpose of the church. And so in some places, churches become more of a social club, or a do-good society, or a self-esteem builder, make us feel better about ourselves, or an entertainment venue. So if someone came up and asked you, what's the purpose of College Hill? Why does College Hill exist? What would you say? I recognize that there are a lot of ways that you could answer that question, but on the most fundamental way, why does College Hill exist? Well, here's my short answer. The church exists to shine with the light of Jesus. The church exists to shine with the light of Jesus. Jesus said, "He is the light of the world, and whoever follows Him has the light of life." The light of Jesus lives in us, and the purpose of our lives, the purpose of the church, is to simply shine with His light. Jesus also said in Matthew 5 that we, the church, we are the light of the world, and we're that city on a hill that can be seen from miles and miles around because we are lit up with the light of Jesus. Or to change analogies, think of the church as a diamond. It was coal. We were coal. We loved the darkness. We reflected no light. But by the pressurized power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has changed us into a diamond. And then, like an expert jeweler, He has cut the church, cut us with various facets, so that we would most gloriously sparkle with His light. There's no light source in and of ourselves. We only shine with the light of Jesus. So if someone asked you, why does the church exist? Why does College Hill exist? You could tell them, well, we exist to shine with the light of Jesus. We're not a social club. We're not here just to do some good. We're not here to make you feel better about yourself. We're not here for entertainment. I think that's perhaps most obvious at an RP church. Rather, we're here to shine with the light of Jesus. So College Hill, shine with His light. Now, that sounds nice, and I like the imagery, what that imagery communicates to us, but I also want to get a little bit more specific about this goal as a church, and I'm going to point out three specific ways in which we're to shine with the light of Jesus. Three ways in which we are to shine with the light of Jesus. First, we are to shine with holiness. We're to shine with holiness. College Hill exists to shine with holiness. Look again at those verses from Ephesians chapter 4. In this section, there's a great purpose statement, a big goal statement. It tells us first that Jesus has given His church gifts, and these gifts are church leadership, pastors and elders and teachers. They aren't the ones who are there just to do the ministry, but rather, He says that He's gifted the church with this leadership in order to equip the saints so that together, as one body with all its parts and all its people playing their roles, we together do the ministry. And then there's a goal for this ministry, middle of verse 12. It says, for, that's a purpose statement word, for the building up of the body of Christ. The goal of the church is to build itself up, building up the body. And then he talks about what it means to build up the body of Christ. It means to be united together more and more so that instead of bickering and arguing and complaining, we demonstrate a reconciled community. We demonstrate a unity in the church that the world can't quite understand. And then he recognizes that this unity is rooted in a truth. It's a unity rooted in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. The unity that the world tries to promote is a unity that comes at the expense of truth. We sacrifice truth in order to be united. But this unity that Paul speaks of here is rooted in truth, absolute truth. Our unity in the church is based on believing the truth of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, God himself, he became human. He became part of the human story. He endured human suffering, human affliction, human temptation, and he did so without faltering, not even once. And then he went to the cross and he died. He died for our sins. He died in our place. He died to satisfy the justice of God in order to reconcile us to God. He died so we could live. And then he rose again and he reigns over all things. And so our unity is rooted in this truth, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Bible. And so the more we hold fast to the truth, the more we'll be united and sanctified and made holy. The more we know Jesus, the more we'll yearn for Jesus. The more we love Jesus, the more we'll be conformed into his image. And that's how this section ends. It says in verse 14 that we would grow into the fullness of Jesus. Into the fullness of Jesus. That we would look more and more and more like Jesus. So that as Jesus is holy, we are holy. Here at College Hill, we want to shine with the light of Jesus, holding fast to the truth, so we together grow up into his fullness, so we look more like him and act more like him, that we would shine with his holiness. That's our goal. This is exactly what Paul says earlier in this book, Ephesians. Ephesians 1:4, he says this. He says that God chose us in him before the foundations of the world so that, purpose statement, so that we would be holy and blameless before him. You know, oftentimes the church defines itself or defines its purpose relative to the world. That we should make disciples, we should seek the lost, we should subdue the earth. We think of our purpose relative to the world around us. And, of course, it's important to understand that, but that's not where we start. We need to start by thinking of our purpose relative to God. The reason why College Hill exists is simply so that we would be holy before God, that we would shine with holiness before him, or to use the words of Ephesians 4, College Hill exists so that we would grow up into the fullness of Christ. So, no, we're not just a social club. We're not just here to hang out and make friends. We're not here to accomplish any of those other periphery things. But we're here to help each other so that we can together grow in the likeness of Jesus. So that we would grow into the fullness of Christ. There was an article in Christianity Today that was a response to the missional movement and perspective in the church. Over the past 10 years, 15 years, the trendy term that churches have adopted is this term missional. Every 10 or 20 years, we get a new term that we like to use. And these days, it's missional. Churches like to identify themselves as missional churches. And I fully understand and agree with the idea that we are to be missional. We want to reach the world, and we're going to be talking about that in a second. Jesus himself said, go and make disciples of the nations. But the goal of the church is not first and foremost missional to the world, but rather it's first and foremost to be holy before God, to be united in faith and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The goal of the church is to grow up into his fullness. In this article, the author quotes from verse 11 of Ephesians 1, And he rhetorically asks the church to finish this sentence. He says this, he reads from verse 11, "We have been predestined according to God's will so that we, who are the first to hope in Christ, might..." And then he asks churches to fill the rest of it out. How would we finish that verse? "So that we who are the first to hope in Christ might..." And then he actually quotes from a few mission statements that he's found. "So that we who are the first to hope in Christ might share that hope with others who don't have hope. So that we who are the first to hope in Christ might live to further the kingdom of God in the world. Or that we might make the world a better place and foster human flourishing. Because we have this missional bent toward the world, we primarily see our purpose relative to the world." And we might finish that verse that way, in any of those ways, but that's not how the verse is written. It says, "We've been predestined according to God's will so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might live to the praise of his glory." We might live in a way that praises him, so that we might live in holiness, so we might grow up into the fullness of Christ. Now again, please don't understand me. I'm not against missional. But we need to understand our purpose relative to God. God has done his work in us so that we would be holy and blameless before him, so that we would grow into the fullness of Christ. So College Hill, shine with the holiness. Shine with holiness before God. Shine with the holiness of Jesus Christ. So the purpose of the church, that's the first one. Our purpose before God, to shine with holiness. The second purpose of the church is to shine with service for his kingdom. Shine with service for his kingdom. Now we're going to talk missional here. Here at College Hill, we want to shine with service for the kingdom of Christ. We need to have here a great vision for the kingdom. This is very much the vision that Jesus casts for us in many places. He spoke regularly of the kingdom. In that great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, starting in Matthew 5, he spoke often of the kingdom. The kingdom is forefront there. He referred to his church as being a city on a hill, and he says, "So let your light shine before men that they see your good works and praise your Father in heaven." We shine with the light of Jesus so that the world would praise God. That's a kingdom focus. A little later in that sermon, he taught us how to pray. He said, "When you pray, pray this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so in essence, Jesus wants us to pray that heaven will be replicated here on earth, so that here on earth, the reign of Jesus would be fully acknowledged and realized. We want the will of God to be done, meaning that we want the word of God to be obeyed. We want the word of God to be followed and applied on earth as it is in heaven. So seeking first the kingdom. And then just after that, in chapter 6, Matthew 6, verse 33, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And in this verse, we actually see the first and second purpose. Don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, or your body, what you're going to wear, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek to establish the kingdom on earth and seek to be holy before God. And then at the end of Matthew, Jesus again speaks of the kingdom in the Great Commission. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," meaning I am the king of this kingdom. "Now go and build this kingdom by making disciples of the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." The kingdom. We should have this great vision of the kingdom. Here at College Hill, we want to shine both with the holiness of God before God and shine with service for his kingdom, so that everything we do would be a contribution to the fullness of the kingdom of God here on earth. This is where the term missional comes in. We want to be missional. We want to shine for the kingdom. We need to resist any kind of separatist mentality. We don't want to remove ourselves from the world. But we are to be in the world, not of the world, but in the world. And we are to be in the world in order to bring about the kingdom. We also need to resist any kind of compartmentalized Christianity. A lot of people go to church on Sunday, but it doesn't really change the way that they work or the way they live at home. It doesn't have any real application for the rest of life. And so their faith is kept in a compartment throughout the week and then brought out there on Sunday. But we need to realize and remember that your faith changes everything that you do, so that we have a kingdom vision every moment of our lives. We want to be a church that's involved and invested right where we live to reach our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends for Christ. We want to see lives changed through the power of the gospel. And as lives are changed, so too we want to see marriages and families transformed. We want the way we work, the hobbies we pursue, how we pursue them, the culture that we promote, the candidates we vote for, the politics we support, the economics, business, education, entertainment. We want it all to change. We want to see the reign of Christ realized in every single part of life. So that means that whether you're working your job or studying in school, whether that's inside the home or outside the home, you do it in such a way that you demonstrate the kingdom and how the king desires you to live in that realm, how God meant for it to function under the reign of Jesus. So we have to stand. We have to stand up for the value and sanctity of every human life, born and unborn, black and white, man and women, young and old, to fight against bribery and prejudice and favoritism, to stand for justice, to fight for a just system of law, good, just rulings in our court, rulings that align with God's justice, not just ones that we come up with. We want to see it all change, every part of the world, to function under the reign of Jesus. And so we want to shine brightly with the light of Jesus in order to see the kingdom established on earth as it is in heaven. So College Hill, shine in service for the kingdom. So we exist to shine with the light of Jesus, and we want to shine both in holiness before God and shine in service for the kingdom. And now, the third and last, we want to shine for the glory of God. We want to shine for the glory of God. In Romans 11, Paul finishes up a section of that book, and it leads him to this great doxology, this great praise to God. And he acknowledges in this doxology that the glory of God is the goal of all things. He writes Romans 11:36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." And that really sums everything up for us. Everything we do is to be done for the glory of God. We seek to live in holiness, all for the glory of God. We seek to serve the kingdom, all for the glory of God. We seek to get dressed and to eat our meals and to drink from our water bottles, all for the glory of God. It's all for him. When you become a Christian, every single little aspect of your life changes because now you have a different purpose for it all. It's all for the glory of God. So churches and businesses, culture and education, men and women, boys and girls, the trees and the hills and the stars and the depths of the ocean, everything you hear and see and taste and touch and smell, everything you learn about, as well as everything you have no awareness of at all, it all has the same goal, the ultimate goal, to bring glory to God. You should view everything as like this mirror tilted in such a way that it's simply a reflection of the glory of God into the world. That's what we're looking at, reflections of God all around us. It's meant to all be for his glory. So we are not here. Listen to me. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're not here so that the RP Church lives on forever. We're not here to see the glory of College Hill lifted up for everyone to see. We're not here for our own gain, but rather our hope should be that everything we do, in everything we do, we would be essentially forgotten. In that our church, our denomination, our elders, our pastor, we don't want anyone to remember us. We aren't working for any awards or plaques because we don't want the praise of man. Our single desire is to see Jesus lifted up and our God glorified so that we would sort of fade away into the crowd and Jesus would be there in all his glory. This is exactly what John the Baptist had in mind when he spoke in John chapter 3. John had this hugely successful ministry. People were coming to him in droves. But when Jesus started his ministry, just shortly after him, people started going to Jesus. John lost his following. And some of John's disciples, they came up to John. They said, look, Jesus, he's taking our gig. He's baptizing everyone. That was ours. He's stealing our ministry. People are going to him instead of coming to us. What are you going to do about it, John? And John said, that was the whole point. I'm just preparing the way for him. And now that he's come, I fade away. I decrease, he increases. I fade away so that he's central. I want to be forgotten so that Jesus is lifted up. That's the whole point of my ministry. You missed it. This is what we want to be the whole point of College Hill. We ultimately want this congregation to sort of fade away into oblivion in some senses. Out of view. So that Jesus would be lifted up. We want to be forgotten so that Jesus is remembered. How easy it is for us to get caught up seeking the appraise and the approval and promotion of people. We can get so caught up seeking first our own kingdom, establishing our own selves, our own lives, trying to display our own glory, helping people see our own greatness. May that never be. May we fail miserably. Because we want to be forgotten so that Jesus is remembered. We must decrease, Jesus must increase. We exist to shine selflessly for the glory of God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why do we exist? That's a fundamental question to every human life. It's a fundamental question to our existence as a congregation. The road to happiness is not doing our best to ignore the question, but rather happiness is found when you discover the most fundamental answer to this question. When we truly understand why we're here and what we're doing, we'll find happiness in the presence of God, true happiness. A kind of happiness this world has no idea about. So what's the point of the church? Why does College Hill exist? We could answer those in quite a few ways. But if we don't know the fundamental purpose, then we could talk all about community. But if the purpose isn't clear, then what's the point of it? Thankfully, God has clarified this question. He's taken the coal of our darkened hearts. He's pressurized it through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's transformed us into diamonds. And then he's cut each one of us and then cut us together as a church collectively into this beautiful gem, simply meant to reflect his brilliance, the brilliance of his light. And so our goal is to simply shine brilliantly, brightly, with the light of Jesus. To shine in holiness before God, to shine in service for his kingdom, and to shine selflessly for his glory. So College Hill, shine with the light of Jesus, for there we will find true happiness in the presence of God forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for shining the light of your Son into our hearts. We were black as coal, but by the power of the Spirit, you have changed us. You've changed us so that now we shine with the light of Jesus. And so we ask you to help us, empower us, enable us, strip away the impurities and let us shine brightly for your glory. Let us shine in holiness before you, growing up into the fullness of Christ. Let us shine in service for your kingdom so that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. And let us shine selflessly all for your glory, that we would become less, that we would fade away, and you would be lifted up. And in doing these things, let us find our true and lasting happiness in you. We ask you, O God, to help us. Let us shine brightly with the light of Jesus to the praise of your great name. In Jesus we pray. Amen.